You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where we look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:55 a.m. with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Rory Delaghi and John Budden. It's Chelmsford City, Southwell and the best of the action from Ireland in Navan and Thurles to look forward to. No racing from Carlisle, unfortunately, that meeting has been abandoned, but still plenty to go out. My name is Mark Walton, as you heard there, and joined in the studio by Luke Elder. How are you, Luke?
I don't know how I keep getting drafted in for this. I went about a year without doing a podcast, and I've done, I think, two in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. You must have impressed with your last one.
No. I put up two horses, and they both fell when coming into contention.
At least they were coming into contention.
Yeah.
Could have fallen out the back of the field.
I'd rather that, to be honest. At least I wouldn't have got my hopes up at that point.
Yeah. Well, maybe the powers that be just thought, well, they were getting into the race.
Do you know who I blame?
Let's give him another go.
I blame Milman. I just feel like he has something to do with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, they were probably sick of his sad podcast.
Yeah, in fact, he is in today.
Yeah.
He is in today.
He's in tonight as well when this will be played out on air. So if you're listening, Milman,
cheer up.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
So miserable. All the time. All the time. I haven't told him what I've got him for Christmas yet either.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so I can't reveal that just yet. But
Is it good?
I can't reveal too much. I mean,
will it make the stony-faced James Milman smile?
Oh, God, no. It might make him cry, but... And it's the same thing, really.
Yeah. At least it'd be some kind of emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be a positive. At least we'd have found out that we had them. That'd be a Christmas miracle as well.
It would.
If I could make Milman smile for Christmas, he's going to hate listening to this, isn't he?
Sorry, James. It's all playful.
I'm not.
He'll be scowling away in the studio now.
Yeah. Poor James.
Poor James. Poor Sam, who's going to work with James.
Poor Sam. Goodness me. Goodness me.
It's all jokes. It's all jokes.
Sometimes.
So, yes. We can look back at the best of Saturday's action before we get stuck into Sunday, because we are recording this after Saturday afternoon's fair, and good racing at Cheltenham. Several winners. We'll go through some of the main several winners. Well, there were seven, because there were seven races. Several winners of note.
Have you done this before?
Maybe. Probably. Allegedly not. Apple Shakira, 1-10 on the day. Smooth success. Stylish is the word I used earlier on. She's favourite for the triumph. Did we learn anything from today?
We learned that she's fit and healthy. I think that not a great deal more than that. I think the race that she won last time was stronger than the one that she won today. Nube Negra, useful horse. Night Destroyer had already been beaten by Nube Negra as well. They confirmed that form. I think she was asked to do a lot more than last time out than she was today, because today she was allowed to just saunter home in her own time, really, and still gave a fair beating to the rest of the field. It'll be interesting to see where they go next with Apple Shakira. I haven't heard any potential targets further down the line, but once she gets a good pace to aim at, she could be a really nice horse. There was a good word going around for her at Cheltenham before her debut in this country, and she didn't disappoint. She was very well back just before the off, albeit 1-10 today wasn't really a betting proposition.
No. The big betting race of the day, I suppose, would have been the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. Won in the end by Guitar Pete, Clan de Zobo second, King's Odyssey in third. Terrible situation with Starkitect as well, who unfortunately went wrong in the race, which mars the race incredibly. It's very sad to see.
It's hard to enjoy, isn't it, when something like that happens? I mean, Starkitect probably had the race won. I mean, it happened with David Pipe a few years ago at the Cheltenham Festival. Matui was coming down the hill, I think in the Kim Muir. And he had a chance. At the top of the hill, you got a real chance of winning a race at Cheltenham. At the finish line, you haven't got a horse anymore. And it's just heartbreaking. I saw the interview on ITV with Ryan Day on board Guitar Pete just afterwards. This is his first Cheltenham winner. And he said, like, effectively, I didn't want to win it like this, in a sense. It just puts a real downer on the race. I thought Simon Holt's commentary was superb as well on it. You could sense effectively that he didn't really want to commentate on the race, but still goes on as like the professional that he is. It was a horrible incident, but you have to give credit to Guitar Pete. A race like this was well deserved from him.
Yeah, I mean, he had great form as a juvenile, didn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
And nice to see him get a big prize, unfortunately, in the circumstances that it was. Albert Bartlett trial on the card as well, won by Kilbrick and Storm, beating the favourite Count Merrybell, who was out in front on the running and tired rather quickly.
Yeah, well, Kilbrick and Storm ventured all over the track, didn't
Because
he came from the standside rail and ended up almost on the far side in the cabbage patch. But Count Merrybell, I thought, had the race won coming to the final flight. Then suddenly Mark Grant looks around and you think that he's in trouble a little bit. And it turns out that he was. He found absolutely nothing on the run-in. You hoped that maybe he might rally once again when Kilbrick and Storm got to him, but that never happened. Maybe drop him back down in trip, or maybe just overrated his form a little bit. But Count Merrybell was a little bit disappointing for me today.
Yeah.
In a sense, he just couldn't go and win. The race of the day for me, going forward, was the novice chase.
Okay.
That's one that I think will work out really well, that Calandra won. Beat some good horses, Kustar, Sivala, moved with the times as a useful individual, albeit he wouldn't be a winner in a sense. He's very happy to finish second and third all the time, but once he comes off the bridle, he wouldn't be the most resolute. And Jameson, the horse that came last to the four, is a very nice horse as well. Calandra was a horse that I backed in the Coral Cup last year. I thought he had a real chance in that. So he's a classy individual. I was hoping he's going to make into a better chaser than the hurdler, and today is a big step forward for him, and it's a good tip of the cap to Modus as well, who beat him senseless at Wincanton last time out.
Yeah, it is. Best race of the day for me,
go on,
was the international hurdle.
Yeah.
Great to see my ten.
Best race is a spectacle, I say.
Yeah. In terms of going forward, the form might not back up, because they're gonna fall short of champion hurdle class and such, but my ten are yours, winning, beating the new one. The Mellon wasn't far away either. Cracking finish. We've seen the new one and My Ten of Yours going head to head since 2012 or something?
Yeah, well, it was My Ten of Yours' first win since February of 2014. I think it was. And for a horse that finished second in a couple of champion hurdles, he's danced every dance, hasn't he? He's done everything you could ask of him. He just hasn't won races.
Yeah.
He was a fantastic novice, but things just haven't worked out for him in his career. He's looked better today than he has for a long time. I mean, this is a track that he doesn't like, in a sense, the new track, because it's a longer run-in. It's not something that he's overly been in love with in the past, whereas the new one absolutely adores it, and Mellon simply took to it pretty nicely. It'll be interesting to see My Turn to Yours when he does get to Cheltenham come champion hurdle time in March, albeit against Bouvardet and Fahin. Hopefully they both turn up as well. How he can fare against him, because for the last few champion hurdles he's been the yardstick, hasn't he, and how we really rate the form around.
Yeah, he'd probably run a good race in third or fourth or something.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be on the premises anyway, wouldn't
you? Yeah, should be, yeah. But great to see. I'm a big fan of My Ten of Yours.
Yeah, I've got a friend who's very dedicated to My Ten of Yours. I think his Twitter handle is the horse's name. So he was doing cartwheels at Cheltenham today, so well done for sticking by him. It's been a long old road.
Yeah. But good to see. And we had some grade twos over at, or up at Doncaster as well. Mm. Keeper Hill winning the December Novices Chase. And we have a dream, a big mover in the Triumph Hurdle market. 5-6 favourite on the day, has shortened from 33-1 into 10-1. On the back of that, could you see him mixing it at
absolutely Australia? He was impressive. He jumped really well. I think it's the same race that they won with Peace & Co as well, the same connections a few years ago. Obviously Peace & Co went on to win the Triumph Hurdle, so it could be a bit more of a compliment to We Have a Dream that Simon Meunier wanted to go for this race. He's got a long way to go until he's considered a real Triumph Hurdle candidate, but he's done absolutely nothing wrong so far. Apple Shakira sort of boosted her credentials as well this afternoon, but both of them have done absolutely nothing wrong for their form, and both look pretty nice sorts.
Went 16s after the race.
Yeah.
Then had to go 12s, and now we've gone 10s, so We Have a Dream, the big mover on the afternoon.
It'd be another one. It'd just be interesting to see where We Have a Dream turns up.
Mm. Where does... I kind of brushed over it a little bit. Keeper Hill's performance rate to you.
Yeah, I liked Keeper Hill before the start of the season. Last time he got beat by Benatar, who's a horse that I hold in very high regard. I think he's going to be a JLT horse, and he might even be a JLT winner come March. I think he's a very good animal. And he got beat 9 lengths by Benatar. I don't think that was a bad run at all. I'm not sure Plumpton was the right track to run Keeper Hill at. I just don't think he was completely in love with it. He made one or two niggly little errors today, but you're going to do that as a novice in the early part of your chasing career. I hope that Keeper Hill can now get his chasing career on track, and he could make into a nice novice himself as well.
Hmm. Anything else stand out to you on Saturday?
I very much enjoyed the finish of the final race at Doncaster. Must Meet a Lady beating Vibrato Valtat. There was a cracking finish towards the line. I backed Must Meet a Lady at Sandown last week when unseating quite softly at the first fence. And it wasn't reported on too much, but allegedly he escaped the track and was found half a mile down the road. It was either a golf course or a cricket pitch. So I'm delighted that he did that last week and then won this week.
Yeah, when he got out of Cheltenham. When he got loose
he got loose at Sandown.
Sandown, was it Sandown?
Yeah, Sandown. Yeah,
turned up on the cricket pitch, yeah.
It was on the Friday. I think he was found about half a mile down the road, just touring Esher. It's a lovely place as well, Esher, so you can't blame him.
Yeah, well, they put him on the boundary. He made a few catches as well. So.
Opposable thumbs would help, but and some form of hands and toes.
Yeah.
But
I was going to come up with some kind of... They put him in mid-off, but I don't know what that means. I don't watch cricket that much.
you wouldn't be doing...
It was that silly point.
It was silly, I'll give you that. Yeah. Come on, we've got one. Yeah. If Ross Brierley was here, we'd be in stitches right now.
Why is that? Is he a big cricket fan?
No, he's funny. I struggle from time to time.
You are socially awkward.
Oh, very much. Oh. I won't bring up the Christmas party, Mr. Walton.
Please don't. Should we move on?
You're the boss.
Let's move on to Sunday's action then. Luke has two races prepared for us, a nap and a next best, if you will. We'll go through them in time order. The first race that you picked out here is the 120 at Navan. This is the Tara Handicap Hurdle, which is a Grade B event over 2.5 miles, a field of 16. So hopefully they all take their place and then we'll have four places enough from each angle. It's going to be a pretty open event though. So
yeah, it's what you expect from a typical Sunday Irish handicap or any Irish handicap really. Fine Rightly was the horse that caught my eye in this. Ran a really pleasing race of offences the last twice, really. He's been tried out in graded company more recently, running the Scottish Grand National back end of last year behind Vicente, was well beaten in that race. It's not really a race that's going to play to his strengths and was an interesting one to go for anyway. This season, though, has taken his form back to the level we expect from Fine Rightly of offences. Was third, beaten 2.5 lengths by Clark Am in a Grade 2 at Navan. Ran a decent race, albeit beaten 24 lengths by Polydam last time out at Navan. Acapella Bourgeois was apparently a very well handicapped horse. He was back in second place, so I think the form of that race, for all that he did get beaten a fair way, will work out quite nicely. Now the interesting thing that Stuart Crawford has done with Fine Rightly this afternoon is switching back to hurdles, where he's got a far lower handicap mark than he does of offences. 1.45 he's rated of offences, 129 of hurdles. I feel like in this race he may just be able to take advantage of that mark. He's a horse that's been around for many years now, Fine Rightly, and he's been a pretty classy individual as well.
Who are you most worried about in there? Obviously, there's plenty to choose from.
Yeah, worried, I'm not sure, but I'd say Dromaku is a very interesting one, because a few years ago he was a real crack novice, wasn't he? Mm. I mean, he's been off for 368 days, but he was seen on these shores more recently. He was with Ben Pauling. He was sent off favourite over at Newbury for a graduation chaser last time we saw him. He fell in that contest. I imagine he might have picked up a little injury in that to keep him out for a while, but he was tried in Grade 2 company at Ascot, I think, in the Reynolds Town by Invited Du Rock a couple of seasons ago. He did also win at Huntingdon, beating Fletcher's Flyer 38 lengths. Now, Fletcher's Flyer is a useful individual. If he's fit enough, Dromaku, then he could be a very well handicapped sort of 1-2-8. At one point, he was going to be a real RSA contender.
Hmm. But you're with Fine Rightly,
yes,
on the day. And would that be the next best or the nap?
That would be the nap for tomorrow, Fine Rightly.
There you go. Best bet on the card on the day then, sorry. Yeah, for Luke is Fine Rightly in the 120. So that therefore means that the next best comes in the 4 o'clock at Chelmsford City. This is the Merry Christmas from Chelmsford City Racecourse Handicap.
That's nice, isn't it?
Lovely.
That's nice.
It's over a mile. Class 7 event though, so it's not the highest grade of event we're going to see on the day. But what's made you pick this one?
Ixelles Diamond is a horse that I've liked for a while now. I used to be with Richard Fahy, and I first noticed her for all the wrong reasons, because she was going down to post at York when I was present a couple of years ago now, and she took out every single piece of running rail that she could find, and it was entertaining to watch. I imagine it wasn't entertaining to be down at the start with, because she was a bit of a lunatic. She's now with Lee Carter though, and she's plummeted in the handicap for good reasons really, because she ran a few lesser races, but the last twice she's been taking steps back in the right direction. Was a good third at Kempton a couple of outings ago. A decent third in what I think is going to be a nice race at Wolverhampton. I'm Big Bad Lol last time out. Charlie Bennett was on board that day. He's on board once again, taking a further £3 off. I just get the feeling from a mark of 51, if XL's Diamond can have the race run to Sue, and it is a big if because she's a strong travelling individual, then she could just defy a slipping handicap mark. Lee Carter works wonders with horses like this as well. He gets an older horse per se, or a horse that's lost their way, and rejuvenates them. And this could well be one of them. He's taken a bit of time to get to grips with, but there's still ability there.
XL's Diamond then for Luke in the 4 o'clock. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Luke. It's been a pleasure.
I look forward to being dragged into this next week as well.
Well, that would be a little Christmas treat for myself if that's the case.
Yeah, Merry Christmas from Chelmsford City Racecourse.
Thank you very much, Luke.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
There you go. That's Luke Elder on Sunday's Racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:55. It'll be myself in the studio, Mark Walton with Rory Delaghi and John Budden, and we have Chelmsford City and Southwell on the domestic front over in Ireland, Navan and Thurles, so plenty to get stuck into. Do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.